Good morning, everybody. I'll be talking about two different things in GitHub 7 database. First is how do we incorporate this domestic support database from OECD into the GitHub database, and second is what did we do with the agricultural factor shares in the GitHub 7 database. So first I'll give an introduction and then say motivate the need for the new OECD domestic support in GitHub 7 database. And we have two different methodologies used for incorporation of this database into GitHub. First is for the non-EU member countries, and the other methodology is for the EU member countries. And finally, I'll talk about the agricultural factor shares, motivation, why should we update it, and then the regions for which it was updated, and what are the methodologies for each region. So what's the link between these two different aspects of GitHub database? So both are crucial for studies that deal with the agricultural production and the impacts of policy measures on them. And they are related both to the from the firm's perspective, the cost of production, cost of factors of production, and from the household's perspective, the income from the employment of different factors. And we have made some improvements in GitHub 7 database for in both these things. So first is about the domestic support database, about which Shen had given a very nice overview. So the main change in this in version 7 domestic support has been that we have different types of payments, some meant for the particular sector, some meant for a group of sectors, and some meant for all the sectors as a whole. So before version 7, we just had sector specific payments. We had for example, paddy, rice, wheat, etc. So in the recent years, many governments have tried to decouple the support from production of particular goods. So it doesn't matter what you produce, you'll get the same support. So the governments have been largely moving towards this direction, not perfectly, but largely. So how can we say that the support is sector specific? That's a big question. So now the new OECD data has actually classified these payments into activity specific, which are meant for the individual sectors, group specific for a group of sectors, then activity generic, which are for all the agricultural sectors, and there are also other transfer, which are common for all the sectors and all the factors. So one more thing I want to say here is that this new OECD data is only for the OECD member countries other than EU. So that's why we have two different methodologies, one for non-EU and one for EU member countries. So the methodology for non-EU member countries, for which we have this classification of payments, I've tried to put it in four different broad steps. First step is to split the OECD agricultural sectors into GTAP sectors. OECD has fewer sectors than GTAP, so we use the using the production shares in GTAP IO tables for different countries. We arrive at the production for each of the GTAP sector corresponding to the OECD production level. So then we deal with the category called other transfers, the last one. So what do we do is we allocate these transfers across the different factors, land, labor, and capital, and we ensure that the rate of support is same across the factors. For this, we use the factors share in the value added. Then this is added to the activity generic payments. So this is going to be common for all the activities. And secondly, that's the third step, we deal with the group-wise payments, which are common for a group of sectors. These are not for the entire production of the group of sectors, but just a part, maybe 50% or 20% or something. So accordingly, we scaled down the production in each sector, in each of these groups, using the zeta pivot table based shares again. And then we imposed the, so we arrived at the payments, and then we imposed the group average power of support to each of these sectors in the group. And thus we get the activity specific payments. So here we have translated the group based payments into activity specific payments just by using the same power of support across all the sectors within the group. So thus we have activity specific payments from group based payments. So the last step is to use a similar methodology to arrive at activity specific payments from activity generic payments. So here we just impose the power of support, which is common for all the activities, for each of the activities in among the agricultural sectors, and we get the activity specific payments. So now if you see, you have converted activity generic payments into activity specific, and you also converted group wise into activity specific. So we just have to add all this, and you get the entire all the payments in terms of activity specific payments. So just to summarize the whole methodology. So to begin with, we have activity specific payments, and we have other transfer payments, group specific payments, and activity generic payments. And we first use the production shares, zeta production shares, to come arrive at activity specific payments at zeta level from OECD level. And then we convert the other transfer payments into activity generic, then activity generic into sector specific, that is activity specific, and then group specific into sector specific. So the final input into the ZTAP database has everything in terms of sector specific payments. And this will be converted into power of support and then incorporated into the ZTAP database. So this is how we deal with the non-EU member countries. For the EU member countries, we don't have this this detailed breakup. So what we do is we assume that all payments are decoupled, which means that we assume equal rates for all the crop sectors. So what we do is we just sum up all the domestic support payments of all the sectors and then calculate the aggregate power of support and impose this power of support for each of the crop sectors. And here we deal with only the crop sectors, because we are not sure that even the livestock and other activities can be included here. So we just deal with crop sectors. And in future we may get this kind of breakup even for EU member countries, so this data can be improved in future. So now let's come to the second part of the presentation, which is about agricultural factor shares. So in ZTAP database for non-agricultural sectors, we arrive at the capital payments as a residual of value added after we subtract labor costs. But if you see the agricultural sectors, the value added has volatile returns. So even the value added may be negative, and the capital payments also can be negative. It's quite possible. So what we do is we just use some econometric studies, and we get the shares of different factors of production in value added, and then we just split the value added into different factors. So this is a methodology we have been following, I think, since version 5, I think. And in ZTAP 7, we have updated these shares using recent methodology and recent studies and better methodologies. So this is just the summary of what has changed. We have decided to change for 5 countries, and the labor shares and capital shares we have compared across these countries for these 2 different versions. So I'm just I'll just go through some of the studies and say what's the improvement in terms of methodology and in terms of year or in terms of being updated. So for Nepal, in to begin with, we didn't have a proper Nepal-based study for version 6. It was, we just used the Indian study to calculate the Nepal factor share. So this time we got a Nepal-specific study, and that's also a very rich study. It uses the joint production and consumption method, and the advantage of this method is that the family non-wage labor is accounted for, which is very, very important for a developing country. And for Canada, we used a study which uses a time series data from 1971 to 93, so it's a very stable, it's a very, very reliable figure. And incidentally, we found that the figures are similar to version 6 figures. And again, here the unpaid labor is accounted for in this study. So these are the other studies. Like for South Africa, we it's a combination of time series methodologies and time series data, and also it doesn't it's not econometric. It's using the first derivatives of profit maximization, just using the shares and changes. So yeah, so and the methodology is better, and also the year is the it's a long time series from 1947 to 91. So similarly for Zimbabwe, it's again a long time series, and in addition to long time series, it's also a it uses a translog production function which is more flexible. And for Peru, it's the methodology is similar to that for Nepal, and it's 1985-86. So again, it's going to include the non-wage family labor and other things which are very particularly important for developing countries. So we hope all these improvements in both the factor shares and domestic support will help promote more richer research in agricultural production, especially in developing countries. Thank you. Any questions or comments in both the presentations?